meditation on breathing is one of the most widely practiced of the Buddhist meditation techniques. It is devised and developed by the Buddha himself and was taught during his lifetime. For the next 2,500 years, it has been a widely used subject for many meditators, both monks and lay people. It has many virtues to it. It is simple. It is portable. Your breath goes with you everywhere you go. It will be with you until your last breath. The breath is neither an attractive object, a fascinating or interesting object, nor is it a repulsive object. It is very neutral. The breath is observed through contact. It is not a visual object. It is felt. A location which is given by the Buddha himself in the several discourses which he described the meditation is at the entrance to the body. The breath enters the body at the nostrils or at the mouth. Most people in their normal condition breathe through their nose. Perhaps if you have a cold or have some other problem, you may have to breathe through your mouth. You need not abandon breathing meditation. Contact of the breath at the lip is also a possible site. Primarily the nose is where the breath is felt. Begin by paying attention to the coolness of the inhalation just inside the nostrils. The Buddha makes a simile that mindfulness is similar to a sentry at the entrance to a walled city. The sentry is posted at the entrance. He does not have to know who's inside the city. He does not have to know who's outside the city. All he has to know is that there is only one way in and one way out of that city. And that is that entranceway. Therefore, he guards the entrance. In the same way, mindfulness observes the entrance of the breath. It does not follow it inside the body. It does not concern itself with the air outside the body. It merely acts as a sentry. All the air coming into the body must pass through the nostrils. All the air leaving the body must pass out through the nostrils. So here we post mindfulness. And the same qualities that a sentry has and is valued for: alertness, constancy, non-distraction, non-sleepiness, non-agitation, not being able to be bribed. What I mean by being bribed is that when you're asking your mind to pay attention to this breath, either more enticing thoughts and images may come along. then you may be bribed into paying attention to those rather than the breath. You have to be not easily bought off. You have to refuse the offers of tantalizing images and thoughts and plans and reveries, and strictly observe the duty of the observation of the breath, the mindfulness of the breath at the entrance. One should not be over rigid, excessively zealous, otherwise it will produce agitation. But you should not be drifting off into sleep, too relaxed. You need the middle ground, a balance between tension and drifting away. Feel the coolness of the inhalation. Feel the warmth of the exhalation. Now the Buddha advises that one pay attention to the duration of the breath. Is it a long breath or a short breath? He does not ask you to control your breath, to control the breathing, merely to breathe naturally, unself-consciously, merely to observe, not to interfere, but to note a long breath when it occurs, both the inhalation and the exhalation, and when a short breath occurs, either an inhalation or an exhalation. When your mind has established itself and is able to pay attention long enough to observe whether it's a long breath or a short breath, then ask it to do something a little more challenging, because the mind may wander and still know whether a long breath or a short breath has been taken. But now, the Buddha asks that one observes the beginning, the middle, and the end of each breath, both the inhalation and the exhalation. In other words, the entire duration of the breath, from its beginning to its end. This is a new demand on mindfulness, on the sentry, that it observes every detail of what is passing in and out of that entrance, that its attention be constant, not wandering at all. This is a more demanding level of practice. And if you find that the mind occasionally wanders and misses, that is very common and to be expected. One should not feel frustrated or a failure by this normal action of the mind. Instead, simply notice when your attention has wandered and start the exercise again, noticing the beginning, the middle, the end of each breath. This exercise in itself should not produce excess tension. It should not produce a hypnotic effect. It is an attempt to increase alertness, awareness, and the capacity to sustain attention. If you succeed, you will feel a very great sense of clarity, presence, lack of distraction. You will not feel in the least bored. You will not feel agitated. You will not feel irritated. You will not feel in doubt. You will be confidently observing this flow of breath in a very lucid condition. You will be aware of precisely what you're doing. This is the first benefit of this exercise, is that one experiences well-being here and now, and has dispelled the variety of hindrances or negative mental states which often occur in the ordinary mind, that is, ill will, sensual fantasies or obsessions, agitation, sloth, drowsiness, and indecision and problematic doubting. By the presence of this observation of breath, one is delivered from these negative mental experiences. Proceeding further, one may begin to notice a subtle change taking place at the very point of contact, at the nostrils, where the breath meets the nostrils. It may turn from a flowing sensation, a soft, cottony flow of the air gently against the nostrils. You might find that it becomes to feel as a static pressure, a very light and airy, but motionless effect, as if a light cotton batten were being touched to the nostrils. This is a sign that the mind is becoming very focused and is becoming still and calm. And so the object which is focusing on the breath begins to take on the quality of stillness rather than motion. This is a sign of increasing concentration, increasing focus. At this point, the aches and pains of one's body tend to dissolve, and one's body is untroubled and experiencing a rather pleasant sensation. And the mind is also experiencing a very pleasant sensation, that is, the very pleasant sensation of being undistracted, calm, strong, even, present, alert, untroubled. One may at this point turn one's attention to the topic of the impermanent nature of this process of breathing. One may direct one's mind to the impermanent nature of all phenomena and the substanceless nature of the breath. Since it's a flow, there is nothing enduring or substantial to it. And noticing this characteristic in the breath, one can also notice this characteristic in all objects of the senses, whatever one sees and hears, smells and tastes and touch and thoughts. All are flowing as the breath does. All have no substantiality. The quality of the mind in this rested and very alert state, when asked and directed towards investigation of the flowing nature of reality, will often perceive it with greater impact than in normal distracted states of consciousness. It will mean more, and possibly may produce a sense of relaxation, a less preoccupation with the flowing with this flowing world, or the realization that since the world is flowing, that all things in the world are flowing, they cannot be grasped, held, controlled. They do not last. And the mind, seeing this characteristic, this sign, relaxes its grip, relaxes its futile attempt to control, to grasp, to hold. This is one of the direct benefits of calming the mind through breath meditation, then turning the attention to the flowing quality of the breath, and then further to the flowing quality of all phenomena. You also may wish to go deeper into tranquility by focusing the mind on the still quality of the breath, that is, this cottony characteristic where the breath contacts the nostrils. When that becomes very, very still, it is the indication that the mind is stilling. And by continuing to focus without too great attention and without relaxation, in an alert way, one goes deeper and deeper into stillness, clarity, profound sense of well-being, and lack of pain in the body, an increase of pleasant feelings in the body, and increase of joy and pleasantness in the mind. This is in the direction of profound concentration, the eighth factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. Do not expect to enter this state without a good deal of preparation, without a good deal of refinement to one's life. It requires a great deal of sensitivity and refinement in the mind. On the other hand, do not think it impossible to calm the mind, to produce clarity, stillness in the mind. It is possible for the ordinary person to develop this, given enough patience and time and correct practice. One can learn the great value of breath meditation. Breath meditation is something which can unfold over an entire lifetime. It becomes one's best friend, becomes a refuge, it becomes an unending source of clarity and stillness from which to base investigations into the nature of reality, the nature of truth, the nature of goodness. An invaluable aid to awakening, taught by the Buddha himself, practiced by the Buddha himself, and recommended by 25 centuries of teachers of meditation. I leave you with these instructions for your welfare and benefit. May you be well, happy, and peaceful.